gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
I feel like my team is probably going to go undefeated this year. Yeah, I do feel like I got pretty much all the good players.
You're calling undefeated season for Caddyshack Williams.
Yes, that's correct. It's like when Joe Namath guaranteed the Super Bowl. Did he really know that they were going to win? I mean, let's be real, no. But did he have a, you know, a 99% sure feeling? Yeah, he did. And that, so do I. Yeah.
Transition to a Lamborghini from a Mustang. Drug sling in the drug gang with the hustling. One thing. Anything is better than that.
You're the best podcast guy in the biz, man. We're here for it. Yeah, people love podcasts. People love this podcast.
The Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. Here's your commissioner, Rick.
Now we're back. Yeah, feels like the draft was a year ago. We've made it through the preseason, the injuries. We're checking all our rosters for the updates, see if that sleeper we've got our eye on is progressing. Maybe we're working the waiver wire for some. But it's just great. Football's back. Fantasy football is back. And to start off the season, we're bringing in our resident lawyer and rookie to the league, Mike, team named Indomicon Soup, to discuss the latest on Ezekiel Elliott's suspension situation, what that means, as well as co-commissioner, resident meteorologist Pip, team named Doriel Greeneggs and Beckham, going over all things Hurricane Irma, the changes it's made to the NFL schedule, and what, of course, that means for our fantasy teams. That music for this week means that we're bringing on our co-commissioner and our resident meteorologist. We're going to be talking all things Hurricane Irma. But of course, this also means that it's our co-commissioner, Pip. His team is Doriel Greeneggs and Beckham, our co-commissioner. Welcome to the pod for the first time as co-commissioner. Pip, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Rick. It's good to be back on the pod another season. And I guess I'm co-commissioner. I don't think you could have mentioned it enough there. But it's good to be co-commissioner, and we'll see what we can do to ruin this league this season. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds good. I tried really hard the past couple years. It hasn't really gone, you know, too great because it's still here, but, you know, whatever. I tried.
Two heads are better than one, so I think we can do a good job together.
That's true. I wasn't actually trying too hard to ruin the league, so maybe if we actually try, it'll probably happen.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's do it.
Okay, hold on. No, they said they were on for sure. Yeah. Oh, it is? Oh, God. Okay. They said for sure it was on. So I haven't heard anything else. Okay. I'll edit that out. Our first match... What?
What just happened?
The board op for the Ems game is making sure that the game's going to happen because, you know, the state is on fire and all of the smoke is just coming to Eugene.
All right. Got it.
Yeah. So our first matchup of the season will be the battle for the City of Medford Bowl between Nick, team named Street Taco Charlton, and Tim, team Chick-fil-A J Green Burrito. Both team come into the week as top four Fantasy Pro Week 1 projections over 90%, with our ESPN League projections both over 100 points as well, with Street Taco taking away the Week 1 victory by almost 6 points. Who has you swooning in this matchup?
Well, first question, what do they? I haven't looked at the Fantasy Pros thing. What does it mean by over 90%?
So you just take their experts on the Fantasy Pros, and it's based on all of the pros' consensus rankings of players and where your players stack up compared to all of these other rankings, and then they've ranked the teams by the players. Like, I've got, like on mine, Brandon Cooks is my number two wide receiver, and I've got the number one, number two wide receiver two. So that gives me like a ton of points for wide receiver. So all the teams are kind of compared and banked off each other, and then this composite number is churned out.
Right. So it's just a number. It really doesn't mean.
No, it's the same as the ESPN projection. It doesn't really mean anything.
All right. Well, I mean, 90%. Wow, that's impressive.
It's an A. But
yeah, that is an A. Anyway, so yeah, what you want to go into, like, the key players? Is that what you asked?
Yeah. Who are you swooning over?
Well, for I'll start with Tim's team since they're on the left of my screen. There are three guys I'm really looking at, and there's three guys I'm looking at for every team that we're going to go over here in these matchups. My first one is Buck 50 Bilal Powell. Pretty interested to see how he's going to do with the Jets this year, taking over the full-time role, and just to see how bad the Jets are going to be and see if he can maybe withstand that. And then there's Amari Cooper for Tim, who I'm interested to see, who... He went high. I mean, he went in the second round, but I'm not that convinced on Cooper. I'm being a Raider fan. He's great, but they don't throw to him in the red zone. I'm interested to see if that's going to change this season. And then another one is Terrell Pryor, obviously, as he moved to Washington, to see how he'll do on the new team. I mean, a lot of people are thinking he's going to be great, but I don't know. I'm not completely sold on Terrell Pryor. I mean, he did well with Cleveland last year, which, I mean, if you do well with Cleveland, you should be able to do well anywhere. But I think those three guys for Tim are going to be pretty interesting to see how they do. What do you think, Rick?
Yeah, I like his wide receivers, I guess, on paper. Calamari, Pryor, Martavis, Marshall, especially if Marshall is going to be getting a lot of the action with Odell possibly not playing. It's just going to be interesting to see how he mixes in into that offense in his first year. He's obviously a big target, and that helps Eli and the Giants out. Not sure how he's going to do week one, but I think he'll be strong. And I think those four guys, definitely the three, are gonna help Tim out week after week.
Yeah, I agree. I like Tim's set of receivers on paper at the start of the year. I've definitely been looking at his team when I've been interested in making some trades. I've been looking at his roster specifically just because I'm looking for wide receivers, and he's got a pretty good set. So
he's got a lot of them too.
Yeah, he does have a lot of them. You could say he has a nice package. I don't know, but
nice.
Yeah, thanks. But yeah, and what do you think about Fronik's team?
Fronik's team, I've got a catching feels for Isaiah Crowell. I don't think there's many, if any, Browns worth owning, but I definitely think Crowell is one of them. I could be the Browns just give up in games and they decide not to pass a whole lot, and they're just going to run the ball, and I think he's going to get a lot of touches and a lot of carries. Maybe not this week against Pitt, but over the season, I think he'll be pretty good. And then, obviously, Danny Woodhead. He was supposed to be the 69th pick in the draft, and I was going to take him, but Nick beat me to it. I think they're going to use him a lot in the passing game, especially when Flacco gets back and he's healthy. And actually, Danny is my rock of the week for week one in this matchup. I think he's going to have a really good week.
Wow, you're just diving straight
rock
into these
rock of the week.
I am, yeah.
Rock of the week.
Well, I was going to do the segments after, like separately, but
I'm mixing them in. I'm just kind of rolling with it.
Okay. Well, I think I'll go through my segments after. That's just how I'm going to do it. But that's fine with you.
Yeah.
But
go ahead.
You're running it. Okay. So my three players to look for Fronik this week and for the season. First of all, is Shady McCoy. I'm surprised he took him as high as he did. I know Fronik has kind of a thing for Eagles and ex-Eagles, a bit like how I do for A's and ex-A's in fantasy baseball, but I think McCoy probably won't be able to stay healthy all season, so he's going to need Crowell and Woodhead to carry him at the running back position for the whole year. or for a lot of the year. And Woodhead is another guy I'm looking at. Obviously, we all know the talent that Danny Woodhead has on and off the field. So I'm just upset that I drafted him last year and he tore his ACL week one or week two, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really have him on my team. So he's going to be a guy to look out for on Fronik's roster. And then the other guy is Sammy Twatkins. So new face, different place. I think is that what they say? Is that what the kids are saying now?
Old face, new place, maybe, or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. New face, same place is like probably like for someone like Michael Jackson or something. But anyway.
Well, he doesn't have a face. He's dead.
He's dead?
Yes.
What?
Happened.
I don't believe you.
Happened at least last week.
What? Next thing you're going to tell me like Tupac died or something.
No, he's fine.
Okay, good. Watkins, with Goff throwing to him, I mean, he's been kind of blessed with terrible quarterbacks his whole career, so I don't know how well he's going to do in L.A. I was never a big fan of him in Buffalo just because he seemed to always have a foot injury or hamstring injury, so I don't think he'll be that great. I think it's a pretty interesting matchup here between these two Medford boys. It's going to be close.
Yeah, I think it's one of the closer projected lines, isn't it, this week? Yeah, only 5 points?
Yeah, it's 5.7 right now. I haven't looked at all of them to see which one's the closest. I think ours might be the closest, but... You got a prediction for this?
I like Tim's team. Like, it's a strong team, and his wide receivers can carry him throughout the season. But Nick's running backs, like you brought up, they're really good. His wide receivers on paper are that much better. Then just kind of better matches. So I'm going to take Nick to take the week one battle for the Medford Bowl here.
All right. Well, I disagree with you. I like Tim's receivers more. And I think his running backs are solid. I think DeMarco has a decent week against Oakland. And I think Kirk does well against Philadelphia instead of Breeze against Minnesota, who had a good defense last year. So I'm going to take Tim in a close one here to start off the year, a 1-0 for Chick-fil-A J Green Burrito.
Yeah, and actually on the Vikings defense, my last segment here that I wanted to bring up was a potential you got plaxed by Fronik for not starting the Vikings defense. I get why he's sitting him, because he's got the Bills who are playing the Jets, which is anytime you can get a defense of somebody that's playing the Jets, like play them. But the Vikings are a really good defense. I get you want your QB to get points and you don't want to have to root for both sides. But just a potential you got plaxed there.
You got plaxicode.
Oh, that's great. I like that foreshadowing there, Rick.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right, we moving on to Brandon against Jared now.
Well, did you have your segments you wanted to go over?
Do you want me to do that now or at the end of the, after all the matchups that we're covering?
Whatever's best for you.
Whatever. Well, why don't I do a different, I'll do it at the end because they kind of involve all the teams. So I'll do it at the end of all the matchups.
Okay. Next up we have Jared. His team name is Jared Cooks, and Brandon, team TCBY Hilton. It's the first matchup where byes come into play because of Hurricane Irma. Jared and Brandon will get 16 straight weeks out of Jarvis Landry, Kenny Stills, and I'm sure a huge miss for Brandon not being able to play Kenyon Drake on his bench. So let's get into our hurricane talk. Irma is a Category 5. Sustained winds of like 150 miles per hour. The eye of the storm just missed Puerto Rico to the north earlier today. What do we need to know about this second storm of the century of the last week?
Oh, well, there's a lot to know about Hurricane Irma, Rick, and to all the listeners out there. This is a storm that is one of the greatest storms of all time. Like, this is top 10 storms. We got an incredible low pressure right now down in the southern tropical Atlantic in Hurricane Irma, followed by Hurricane Jose right on her tail.
Right.
Who back there? Hurricane Jose back there. But we got an incredible low pressure. We've got 26.99 inches of mercury. That's their pressure. That's incredibly low pressure. Standard temperature pressure is 29.92. So this is almost 3 inches of mercury lower than that. And that's really low, Rick.
Sounds low.
Yeah, I'm sure you knew that, but that's really low. And we got, to put this storm into football terms, she's got a real nice tight spiral. Like, this thing is spinning. This thing is spinning counterclockwise real tight. We got, I think, about a 25-mile-wide eye, just like you said.
Holy God.
Puerto Rico right now. Yeah, it's like I said, it's tight. It's a great spiral. And so, we got sustained winds of 185 miles an hour, gusts up to 225 miles an hour. It's the fifth strongest tropical cyclone to make landfall globally in terms of sustained winds of all time. So this is, I think it made landfall with Barbuda, something like that. And it's tied with the 1935 Labor Day hurricane, which we all remember.
Yeah.
1935, and the famous hurricane of 1959, Typhoon Joan.
Oh.
No relation to Sing Sing, but Typhoon Joan in 1959. This is a hell of a storm. And I think, it's crazy how these storms are impacting the NFL these days and fantasy football, which is what's important in life. So.
Right.
Hurricane Irma wreaking havoc on this matchup and also our matchup. We'll get to that in a minute, Ed. And do you have any more hurricane talk, or should we dive right into these matchups right now?
Well, I wanted to follow up on the tight spiral that Irma's spinning. You said it's 25 miles wide, but it's a tight. Is it a tight 25 miles?
Well, it's 25 miles, but it's a real nice eye, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
This is not a messy eye. This is a tight eye. So, there's a clear wall there, and it is a hell of an eye.
So I also noticed that Irma went from like a 2 to a 5 category in like a day and a half. So it went from worst to foist. How quickly do you see it going from foist to worst as it makes landfall over Miami?
Well, that's what I've been hearing, that it's really going to take a while to drop from foist to worst. Worst, sorry. If it goes up that eastern coast of Florida, then it will still be a Cat 3 as it goes up to Jacksonville. Now, if it goes up the western side of Florida, then it's going to really screw up Tampa Bay more and the whole western coast of Florida. And then maybe if it goes back into the Gulf, then it will be even stronger. It will go from waist to foist and stay first all the way until it goes to Houston or New Orleans or any of those places on the Gulf Coast. So, I don't know about that yet. I need to look over the models a little bit more.
Is there anything Blake Bortles can do about this if it gets up to Jacksonville to possibly prove that he's got a strong enough arm to, like, throw the hurricane back into the Atlantic?
Well, I don't think there's any questions about the strength of Blake Bortles' arm. I think what would be the real test for Bortles would be if he were to go up in one of those Hurricane Hunter planes and maybe throw the ball out of the plane and see if he could actually make it in the eye. You know, I mean, he's got a 25-mile-wide target there, and if he plays like he has, or if he throws like he has in the NFL, then he would probably miss it. So I think that's the big test for Blake Bortles, and I would suggest that he goes up in one of those planes.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's move on to the matchup. I appreciate it as our resident meteorologist. And, of course, if we need to bring you back on to talk about Hurricane Jose, and if that has any more implications, we'll probably do that as well. Moving to the matchup, Jared Cook scores a perfect 100 on the Fantasy Pros in a week-high projection of 123, while Brandon comes in at 89% on Fantasy Pro. The line is 14 for Team TCBY Hilton. TCBY is running with Christian McCaffrey at running back. Do you see him being for real or for real?
That kind of goes into my Brocker Rock of the Week. You're getting ahead of yourself, Rick.
Thanks.
I see McCaffrey as being definitely for real. this season, and he's one of the guys I'm really looking at on Brandon's team as my rock of the week, and he's
rock
got a good
of
matchup.
The week.
There you go, and he's got a good matchup against San Francisco. They drafted him in the first round. He's got a lot of grit, which we know, and he is got a lot of potential. I think. I mean, I'm a Stanford fan, guys, so I think he'll do well in the NFL. I think the Panthers will be able to use him. Probably not great for Cam, but I see McCaffrey having a successful NFL career. As for my other guys to look forward to watching on Brandon's team or interested to watch, my first is Mike Gillisley. Obviously, New England, you know, when they have guys that go off, they do really well. But I don't know how well he will do. I don't know what they're going to, how they're going to use him. So I think he'll be really interesting to watch. Also, T.Y. Hilton, without Luck in there at quarterback for the Colts, is going to be
that's
where a lot of Hilton's value comes from. So I don't know who's starting for the Colts. Is it Johnny Yu?
It's no, it's not. He's also dead. It's Scott Tolzien.
Wait, Johnny Yu's dead?
Yes, that also happened. I think last week.
Oh, that's the best news I've heard all week, Rick.
What is he? What, now I'm not sure if he's actually dead or not.
Oh, well, hopefully he's in Puerto Rico or something. I don't know. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't wish death upon dead people already. But
no, especially since he died. He died on 9/11. So
he died on 9/11.
2002, but it was on 9/11.
I always knew Johnny Yu was a terrorist.
Oh gosh.
Can I say these?
I mean, yeah, you can't. I'm not going to stop you.
Okay, that's fine. Nobody listens anyway. So, and then my other guy to look at is Michael Crabtree because he gets all the targets in the red zone for Oakland. So, I like Crabtree.
Are you worried long term about Crabtree because he is 30 and he's getting older, and generally when guys in the NFL they hit 30. Like, there's very few people that keep performing as they get older. Like, do you think Crabtree is going to see a fall down? Like, last year, he was spectacular. Like, he's constantly putting up wide receiver two numbers, even alongside Amari Cooper, who is still putting up fantastic numbers. You said you liked him last year. Do you see a fall off this year, then?
Well, here, something's a bit like Frank Gore. You know, you never know when Frank Gore is going to fall apart. I don't know when the Raiders or when Carr is going to start throwing to Cooper in the end zone instead of Crabtree. There's definitely a connection there. I think Carr has definitely caught feels for Crabtree in the red zone. So I don't see that stopping anytime. As long as Crabtree's healthy, I think he will get the majority of the targets in the red zone, which is why I like Brandon owning him.
Yeah, I also like Emmanuel Sanders. He and Simeon last year had a really good connection. He finished with 50 yards less than Demaryius Thomas on 11 less receptions, and his yard of reception was almost 13, while Demaryius's was 12. I think as a wide receiver three, that's a really strong play. And then the bench, bench receivers are okay. Marvin Jones last year had those like three huge weeks, and then kind of disappeared. So you're not sure if he's gonna kind of be the not the, you know, the hot 3 week Marvin Jones or the rest of the week Marvin Jones. But I kind of like those receivers there and the running backs as well. Freeman, Gillisley, and McCaffrey just as a pass catching back, I think is a solid choice.
I like those stats. You do really well on around the horn with stats like that.
Lots of points from what's his name?
Yeah. Reale.
Yeah.
That guy. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's what those of you guys look for Brandon's team. As for Jared's team, well, I got to say, I mean, obviously Lev Bell and Marcus and Gronk I really like, but I'm not a big fan of Jordan Howard. I don't know about you. I know he did really well last year, but he averaged 13.5 points per game. And I don't know, I don't see the Bears being very good. So, like, you know, a lot of people use the argument for mediocre running backs, you know, when they're losing, they're going to, on mediocre running backs on bad teams, when they're losing, you know, they're going to be throwing the ball a lot, so he won't get a lot of carries. I don't know why the Bears are going to be any different from that. They're going to be one of the worst teams along with the Jets. So I'm just not sold on Jordan Howard. That might come back to bite me in the arse at the end of the season. But I think he's a player, interesting player to look for. I think Allen Robinson is another big question mark for Jared's team. He's definitely not a wide receiver one, in my opinion. And, you know, Landry's obviously out due to the hurricane. And so he had to bring in Randall Cobb, me and Packer wide receivers just don't get along.
Yeah.
I think I've owned Cobb, Jordy, and Devontae Adams, and none of them have done as well as they ever have when they were on my team. So that's kind of a tough break for Jared having to bring in Randall Cobb. So I think this definitely brings the matchup a little bit closer, but I still think Jared gets the win at the end of the day.
Yeah, so going back to Howard, I would liken this to, like, the Rams last year with Jared Goff and Todd Gurley, where they're gonna try and protect the quarterback. So they're gonna try and protect Mitch Trubisky, and they're gonna have him, you know, not throw the ball 50 times a game, but give it to the running back, set things up, you know, just give him confidence that we're gonna run the ball a lot. We'll mix in the pass. We'll use the pass to set up the run, kind of thing, and work off each other. I think he's going to be fine. I mean, he didn't put up spectacular numbers, but it was consistent. And so, if you get 10, 11 points out of a guy a week, like, you're going to feel fine about it. But honestly, like, wide receivers.
But that's not worth a second round pick. If you're getting 10 points from a guy a week, that's not a second round pick. That's a third or fourth round pick, you know?
Fair. Yeah.
But where Jared was picking,
right
at the turn there. So,
well,
yeah.
he
anyway,
did.
That's
yeah,
that.
I don't know. I don't know. I like Howard going forward through the year. I think his entire team. Whenever you've got to face him with Gronk and Le'Veon, who can easily go for 20 plus in a week, like, that's a huge worry. His wide receivers, there is some drop off this week because of the hurricane, kind of like messing with players. Not to mention he's got Williams on his IR, who's suspected to come back a lot earlier than a lot of people thought. I think that's going to help. I think Jared's team is going to be a huge worry, and especially, I mean, Marcus, who everybody is, you know, just now realizing, oh, wow, he's really good and incredible. Landry's on his bench. I mentioned the hurricane thing. So I like his team this week. I think him moving back from SoCal to the Pacific Northwest is going to be the change of, you know, state that he needs, to make a deeper run into the playoffs than he normally does.
Well, that's hard to do. He's made the finals and the semifinals the last 2 years. But
well, he's always been right there. He needs to win. So he's got to be back in Seattle or the Pacific Northwest. So that's going to do it for him.
You said go deeper in the playoffs. I mean, he couldn't go much deeper. Jared always goes deep. So I think Jared, it might be enough to put him over the hump this year, but I'm not going to make season-ending predictions right now. But I do think Jared wins this week, and also, Jared, obviously, congratulations on your new job, and good luck in Seattle. I hope you and Mike have a lot of time to hang out together and be on the prowl together. So, yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah, well, I'm a cute guy.
Yeah. And last up.
Thank you.
I missed that. I was moving on to my notes. Last up, it's the first ever Commissioner's Cup. Pip, Team Doriel, Green Eggs, and Beckham against myself, JSIE Berries. Pip, you scored 10th out of 12 at 89.6% on the Fantasy Pro evaluation. I come in at 8th at 92%. Just kind of about on me on my team real quick. About 2 weeks ago, I had that like catching feels moment with my entire roster where I just realized, oh man, my team is set up. I got really good guys. I'm feeling great. And then sometime last week, something happened where I'm just like, oh my God, it's all going to go shit. We've already talked about Hurricane Irma. Mike Evans is not going to play, which is huge in our matchup. It's actually a 6-point swing. He went from a 3-point favorite to now I am a 3-point favorite. What are your thoughts on this matchup, I guess, with having to replace guys because of the hurricane?
Well, I'm obviously not very happy about that. You know, anytime you lose your first overall pick, especially due to something as ridiculous as a massive weather phenomena, it's annoying. So I had to take him out, and I put in Dante Moncrief, who I didn't want to play because Andrew Luck is out. So
right.
That really doesn't help my wide receiver situation, which was already I wasn't that confident about to begin with. And I mean, I think my projections are a little bit low, but I don't really care that much about projections. I like my squad. I'm not going to win this week at wide receiver. If I'm going to win, it's going to be at quarterback, and it's going to be at running back, and it's going to be at flex. Those are the positions that I want to win. And I would be okay with Henry and Ertz canceling each other out. So my three guys to look at are Evans, just because he's out, and that's a big, big omission for my team. I think Moncrief needs to do well as a replacement. I mean, he does, when he plays and he's healthy, he usually scores a touchdown, but that's usually with Andrew Luck throwing. So I don't know how he's going to do. I'm hoping for a touchdown, probably 10 points, hopefully. And then my star, Kareem Hunt, I want him to do really well tomorrow night. He's going to get that number one back roll. I want Kansas City to really, really just run him into the ground. And hopefully I can get a touchdown and quite a few receiving yards out of him, because I think my running backs are better than yours. So
I agree.
I think I really like Carlos Hyde. I mean, I had a choice of him or Crowell, and I think Hyde with Shanahan, I think he's going to do really well this year. Not Devontae Freeman type of numbers, but if he can stay healthy, which I know is the big question mark with any player, I really want and believe in Carlos Hyde this year. I think for your team, Sam Bradford projected 17.2 is garbage, 2 points less than Rodgers. I know Rodgers is going against Seattle, but if Sam Bradford outscores or gets that close to scoring Aaron Rodgers, I'll be shocked.
I think it's only because New Orleans' defense is that bad.
Yeah, but Sam Bradford isn't very good either, so I don't know.
I know.
But I like that you had the 6th and 9th ranked receivers on your team.
Thanks.
And yeah, that's pretty cool. So yeah, I think this is going to be a close matchup. I don't think we have that great of teams right now. I think as the season progresses and we start to make trades, probably with each other, our teams will definitely get better. And the two guys I'm looking at on your team are Ingram and Crowder, just because I owned them last year. And if Ingram gets 2 touchdowns snaked by John Kuhn again, I'll be on cloud 9. And if Crowder plays like he did in the regular season, I'll be upset. But if he plays like he did in the fantasy postseason last year, I'll be very happy, because he kind of fell off a cliff at the end of the season. So, yeah, I'm thinking a close matchup, probably around 100 points, not that high scoring. But, I mean, I'm obviously going to predict myself to win. So it should be a good fun matchup between us.
Yeah, I very much agree that I like your running back in flex positions. I think you're definitely going to beat me there. I was looking at C.J. Anderson and Hyde and Crowell. I was hoping to get them in like the third and fourth round. So I was definitely looking at those guys and was kind of, you know, through the mock draft process, taking a long look at them. I fucking hate myself for not knowing that Andrew Luck was hurt at the draft because Matt Ryan was still on the board. I think a couple other good QBs were still on the board. So I absolutely
that's why you got to draft with your heart and not your head.
Yeah. How many times do you hear that mistake? So I'll give myself the first. You got plaxed of the year for taking an injured quarterback when the league MVP and the quarterback of your favorite team was still on the board.
You got plaxicode.
I always laugh at those.
They sound good. Like, I'm surprised that the voice guy like read them. So thank you, voice guy.
Yeah, he did.
Thank you, Drew. His name is Drew.
Hey, good job, Drew.
I'm gonna take you to win. I think I'm putting a lot on Sam Bradford and Thielen. I'm probably going to make a bad decision probably many times this year when buys aren't involved or anything like that at my flex spot. Just between Thielen, Reddick, John Brown, James White, I've just got too many options for one position, and I'm bound to just mess that up. So I think that's where I started to realize that my team isn't that great. I'm going to take you to win as well. I think my running backs aren't super strong. I didn't feel too great about picking either of them. Not hearing a whole bunch about, you know, Ingram being the guy, or you know, Fournette being healthy and they're going to feed him the ball, you know, a ton. So I'm going to give you the week one win prediction wise.
Oh, great. Well, can we just put it into the computer that I want to know just right now?
Yeah, I think as commissioner you can edit the score, so just make it 1-0 you, and that'll be the final.
Awesome. I'll go right ahead and do that.
Okay. So what are your segments for the week then?
Well, okay, my segments. I'm going to start off with catching feels.
Nice. I don't have a drop for that one. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Catching feels. There we go. Thanks, Drew. And so my catching feels are, first of all, is for Kareem Hunt, obviously. Guy on my team taking over number one running back role on a team that likes traditionally to have a ball hog running back. And after Spencer Ware went down, RIP Spencer Ware, I'm really, really, really liking Kareem Hunt this whole season. So I'm hoping he lives up to my expectations. My second catching fields guy is Martavis Bryant on Tim's team. I really wanted to draft him, and he's not suspended anymore. He's off. He is off the devil's lettuce, apparently. And I think he's going to have a really good season for Pittsburgh. Catching fields for Michael Schmidt. Just because he couldn't wake up in the morning and take a breath, and he's already being a better league member than Austin ever was. And he's doing a great job with all the work that he's done on the videos and the photos and all that good stuff. And I'm very excited to hear what his opinions are when he's on right after me. And then my final catching feels is for Barack Obama for not being a dick.
Okay, we like to stick to sports here, so I think we're going to have to cut you off.
Okay, well, that's fine. I'm going to go on to my next segments now. Do you have any comments on those guys?
No, they're all good. I agree. Mike is great, Obama is great, and Martavis Bryant, now that he's off the devil lettuce, the hippie grass, I think he's going to be a good addition to the Steelers and a good compliment to Antonio Brown.
Cool. I'm glad you agree with them. And now my next segment is Yeah, Dude.
Dude.
Oh, hold on. Wait.
Yeah, Dude.
Yeah. There you go. Can you play that again?
Yeah, Dude.
He read another one where it's just like, yeah, dude. And then this one he realized like in the next tape, he's like, no, there needs to be some inflection here. So yeah, he threw that in there.
Yeah, dude.
Oh boy. Anyway, yeah, dude segment.
Yeah, dude.
God damn it.
You got to get over it.
This is going to sound, this is great radio right now. Great podcast. My first yeah, dude goes to Duncan for drafting Eric Decker in the third round. I think that's basically what all of our reactions were when he drafted Eric Decker.
Yeah.
And yeah, dude. And then also on this subject of Duncan, the Seahawks' new alternate logo. Did you see that?
It's terrible. I think I saw a tweet that said it, when you look at it upside down, it looks like a pug smiling with a mohawk, and I can't unsee that. It's not a good logo. It looks ridiculous. And I'm super worried that like all of the other like bird teams and like teams that have like side like animal logos like the Seahawks are going to come out with alternate logos. And I'm just so worried that the Falcons are going to be next because it's the same exact thing. It's just, you know, a bird head basically. And I just know it's going to be terrible. And I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, they should. I think the Falcons should do that. That would make them look like an even classier and better organization than they already are.
Thanks.
Yep. Okay. And then my next yeah, dude is for cops.
Yeah,
for,
dude.
yeah, dude. Cops for racially profiling whichever one of the Bennett brothers it was in Las Vegas.
It was Michael, wasn't it?
Michael Schmidt?
Michael Bennett.
Tony Bennett.
Sure.
Brian Bennett. It was definitely Brian Bennett in Las Vegas. And then on an entirely unrelated note, yeah, dude goes out to Austin for not thinking the podcast is fun.
Yeah, dude.
Or anything else we do.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, that's worth a couple yeah, dudes. But yeah, those are my yeah, dudes.
Okay.
And then to my Brock and Rock of the Week, my Brock of the Week is...
Brock of the Week.
There you go. Brock Osweiler, just because he is actually Brock Osweiler.
Right.
And then Leonard Fournette, not a big fan.
Okay.
Brock of the Week.
And then my Rock of the Week is Christian McCaffrey. I think he puts
Rock
up at least
of the 15. Week.
I think he puts up at least 15 to 20 points against San Francisco.
Nice.
And so those are all my segments, and I'm sure everyone is devastated. There were no fun facts this episode. I decided I'm not going to be doing fun facts this year. I'm going to do a couple of trivia questions with you.
Oh boy!
So I went to a trivia night last night, and there were some NFL questions, and I want you to answer them and see if anybody else can maybe answer them. So the first question is the wide receiver with the most touchdowns since 2007 in the NFL. Can you name them?
Wide receiver with the most touchdowns since 07?
Yeah. Last 10 years.
Is it Megatron?
Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good job, Rick. I didn't guess that. I guessed Larry Fitzgerald.
Ooh, that's a good one as well.
Yeah, but you're right. It's Calvin Johnson.
Okay.
And then
I was gonna call him Chris Johnson several times.
And then Johnson. And then my running back question. Running back with the most touches since 2007, last 10 years.
Adrian Peterson?
That is not correct.
Oh, Frank Gore.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Good job.
Thank you.
We got the Frank Gore question right, but the Calvin Johnson question we got wrong. But those are my trivia questions for the week. I'll probably have more on whenever I'm next on. So.
All right.
Yeah, that's all I got for you, Rick.
Well, no, that was good. I like. I guess instead of it's like. making me figure out the fun fact instead of you finding the fun fact. I like it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you like it. I hope everybody else likes it. All the listeners out there.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Pip. Co-commissioner, as I've mentioned a couple dozen times, good luck to you in weeks 2 through 16, and hope your players stay healthy the rest of the season, but don't perform well week one.
Thank you, Rick. Good luck week one. I hope all your players do great, but not as great as mine, and then your team is good enough to where you'll trade me all your good players by week three. So, yeah, it's great being on again, and I can't wait to be on. Good luck in the future. Tell Mike I said hi, and he needs to I'm not going to complete that sentence. Anyway, yeah, good luck with Mike.
For the first time, we now get to welcome our newest league member, resident league lawyer. He's the man who makes the best cucumber water I've ever had. It's Mike, team name Nindamakan Sue. Welcome to the pod, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Rick. Thanks. I'm excited to be on here for my first ever pod appearance.
All right. Yeah, and welcome back to the Pacific Northwest as well. Moving up to Seattle, you're starting law school. You're going to be a big-time capital L lawyer. Things are they're looking good for you there, Mike.
Yeah, they're not looking good outside right now, but everything else looking pretty good.
Yeah, it is quite terrible outside weather-wise. So since you are our legal counsel, we're very lucky to have you on this week, especially with fantasy and reality bleeding together regarding Ezekiel Elliott. We'll get to his suspension later, but more importantly, just the league as a whole, we now have a lawyer to call whenever we're in trouble with anything. So I can't wait to call you all the time with all of my legal advice and questions.
That's exactly right. I haven't taken one class yet, but I will be perfect legal counsel for anything that might come up.
That's exactly what I feel like most lawyers are, so I completely understand. Yep. The first matchup we're going to be going over tonight is Scott, team name Matt Stover's Le'Veon Zogna, taking on the namesake of our JoJo of the Week award, Jordan, team Cooper Kupp of Noodles. Jordan has the second highest fantasy pro rating at 98.2%, projected to score 116, while Scott has the second highest projection of the week at 119, but comes in with his fantasy rating at 92. So what are your thoughts on this matchup?
My thoughts on this matchup. Let me pull up my notes here. I have a couple of them.
Glad you were prepared.
Okay, so I don't know if this is going to matter a bunch, but one thing I noticed is that Scott's got way more players that are playing away games in his lineup this week. And I don't know if you believe in, you know, the whole home field advantage or if it'll make too much of a difference. But when you look at the teams side by side, he's got a whole lot more players not playing at home.
Interesting.
That being said, I do think he has a slightly better team. But I kind of wanted to look at the two players that are playing his home games because they, you know, they might have the home team advantage. That's Todd Gurley and DeAndre Hopkins. Neither of which I think are going to do a lot for him this week, actually. You can hope Gurley will get, you know, maybe a lot of handoffs because, you know, Jared Goff sucks.
True.
So he'll have a lot of opportunity. And everyone's saying this is going to be his bounce back year or something, bounce back season, but I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see. I feel like that's just a bunch of blind optimism and he hasn't really proven that it's going to be his bounce back year. That being said, I haven't really watched him that closely. So I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I agree. I wasn't big on Hopkins. I think Deshaun Watson's definitely going to try and throw him the ball a lot because he's the big receiver, just got the big paycheck. Watson's the rookie quarterback, going to throw him the ball a lot. I agree that Scott's wide receivers just on a whole are just kind of, they're very shaky.
Yeah, is Watson for sure now on Houston? I haven't been following that too much. I was aware that Houston's still kind of up in the air.
I believe he's been named the starter, yeah.
Okay, cool. Because that's another thing I was saying. It's like he doesn't have a – DeAndre Hopkins is supposedly this really good receiver, right? But he hasn't built up this chemistry with a quarterback yet. So I'm sure his numbers might be a little inflated compared to what they're actually going to be.
Yeah, I agree. I think, people are maybe a little bit too high on him, especially with rookie QB. So, yeah, good call there, Mike. Good start.
Yeah, yeah. And then so on the other hand, though, I looked at Jordan's team, and, he's got two L.A. Chargers on his team, and if they're like the Chargers I know and used to love, they'll probably have an insanely disappointing season opener. So... they'll probably have probably a promising drive sometime in the first half, and then Melvin Gordon, Jordan's running back, probably fumble in the red zone, and then Keenan Allen might do well, but while Philip Rivers is throwing to him, he'll probably throw an interception. So those are my predictions for the Chargers. I'd like to see, even though I'm not a fan anymore, I'd like to see Antonio Gates get his touchdown to break the record. I think that's total touchdowns for a tight end career touchdowns.
Is he up there? Is he tied?
I think this next touchdown he's about to be tied.
Let me look that up real quick.
Yeah, I'll look it up too. So I'm excited for that. You know, I'll still root for Antonio Gates. Grew up watching Antonio Gates.
Yeah, he is tied with Tony Gonzalez for sixth all-time, which would make it Tony Gonzalez will obviously be the number one tight end of all time, 111 for each of them. So one more.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see that happen. Everything else, the Chargers will probably just flop as usual.
So I want to ask you real quick, because I like Jordan's wide receiver core. But my biggest concern is Keenan Allen coming back from that injury, obviously playing with Philip Rivers. If you take your previous fandom and now hatred for the San Diego LA Chargers kind of out of things, how do you think Keenan's going to do coming back from his knee injury?
Well, I mean, I think that's obviously going to influence his playing, how much time he gets on the field, how hard he's going to be. Is he going to be giving it 100% every time? Not sure. So that might, even if he might be like running his routes well, performing everything to a T, Philip Rivers might still be like, he might gravitate toward other receivers. I don't know. It's, I feel like there's always this sort of, hesitation when someone's coming off an injury, because you don't want something to happen again.
Right. So what do you think about the matchup then, and who wins this week?
I think overall, I'll probably pick Scott. And again, I don't know how much you think it matters. I'm a little worried about all those away games, but I think overall he's got a slightly better put together team. So it'll be a close one, but Scott will come out.
Interesting. I think opposite. I think Jordan's team all around is a lot stronger. Cam Newton against the Niners is a great matchup. A.J. Green is always a top target. And I like Jordan's running back setup just a little bit more. Well, obviously outside of David Johnson, I like the running backs a little bit more, just kind of depth-wise, especially at flex with Jonathan Stewart, with you don't know how many carries he's actually going to get. I really like Jordan's team. I think he gets out on the right foot this year after last year losing week one and calling for his undefeated season. So I'm going to take Jordan.
All right.
Next up is our current champion and resident league rock star, Duncan, team Zeke Beats, takes on our resident doctor, Andrew, Jeff Cucumberland. I believe these two teams were actually the two that tied for worst draft back during our draft weekend, so it's very fitting that they get to meet in week one. Duncan, of course, overcame all of the criticism week after week all last year, and he won the title. So it's a spot he's used to being in. Zeke Beats comes in with a 92 on the Fantasy Pro score with a projected even 100 points up against Q Cumberland, who comes in with a 90 from Fantasy Pros and the advantage at the projection coming in at 108. What do you see out of these two teams here?
Well, yeah, I was going to bring up that point too. The matchup should be fun because they're the voted worst two drafted teams in the league. So, like you said, it should be interesting to see this first week head-to-head. But looking at the teams right now, there's nothing really like wrong on paper. I mean, they look like pretty solid teams. I don't know what Duncan is doing, leaving a wide receiver slot open, like DeSean Jackson with the bye week.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't get the memo on the postponement of the game. I'm not sure.
I think I think he would have that fixed by Sunday. He's normally on that.
Yeah. I mean, he's got Zay Jones and J.J. Nelson on his bench, and either one will get more than zero. So I think it would be good to switch them out. Plus, J.J. Nelson has a projected 6.9 points. So I think we know what the correct decision is there.
Yeah. It's I call him PB and J.J. Nelson.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, those 6.9 points could win or lose you a game. Their projections are not that, you know, it's not like they're not drastically different. So put in the 6.9 points, PB and J.J.
Yeah, and I mean, Zay Jones, like I get Quincy Enunwa is out, so like the Jets are going to have to throw the ball to somebody, but they also like haven't really picked a quarterback that's going to throw the ball, so that's still a challenge. And Cordell Patterson, he's got to be at least a wide receiver three on the depth chart for the Raiders, and I don't think that's a good play at all. Really, wide receiver depth, when you've already got Antonio Brown, and then your next wide receiver that you take is Eric Decker in the third round, it's not a good pick. Like, I get Decker is going to be, like, he's in a promising offense with the Titans, but you could have waited at least three more rounds and still gotten Decker. He's not even probably going to end up being the number one in Tennessee.
What round did he go? What round did Duncan pick him?
He went in the third round, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow. Okay. But, I mean, so I wasn't in the league, but you guys said this is exactly what happened last year, and Duncan made picks, made moves that you guys didn't like, and he came out the champion. So, I mean, we can BS all we want over here, but you know, it just comes down to game day, and maybe he saw something that we haven't seen.
I know last year he took risks on rookie running backs and like Melvin Gordon, who was trash his rookie year and then had a spectacular sophomore season, and then he picked Zeke, I think, in the first round and was really big on him, and obviously Zeke was phenomenal last season.
Yeah.
So like that was a good pick. And then it was just like a couple other guys just like that he picked later that were kind of like that did better for him. So it feels like he's taking a guy that did really good for him in the past. Like he's had Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall before and played them in the same week. And like one of them or both of them has gone off and like it's won him games. So I can see where he's coming from, where he's like, this guy has won for me before. I'm going to take him again. And I'm going to take him early because I really want him. But third round in the draft is really high to take a guy who Decker's coming off an injury as well. And he's not going to be a number one target. Like, I get that offense has a lot of hype around it, but that just, I think we all thought that was a really bad pick.
Yeah, not a third round guy.
And then I've also got, it's not a Brock of the week, but it's a Brock of the season. So let me play that sounder.
Brock of the week.
Brock of the year, and it's, I'm sending this to Frank Gore. Andrew had Frank Gore last season. I asked him about it. And Andrew's like, yeah, he's still got something in him, and he rushed for 1,000 yards, and Andrew was right, and like, good for him. But now Gore's 34 years old, and that's really old for everybody in the NFL who's not a quarterback. Talked about it a little bit with Pip. Like, it's just, it doesn't really make sense how he's still going, and I really don't think this is the year that, you know, he puts out another 1,000-yard or, like, 900-yard season or something like that. I just don't, like, I get he puts a whole bunch into his workout regimen in the offseason and he's staying fit and he's working, but just you've been playing in the league for so long and he's such a hard physical runner that like I don't think he can keep going anymore.
Yeah, he's probably falling apart by now. I think his best years are behind him. Because I remember he looked really good, oh God, years ago on the 49ers.
Yeah.
But must be slowing down by now.
Yeah. So who's your pick to win this week in this matchup?
Pick to win. Well, if Duncan puts in his PB&JJ, I think Duncan might have a slightly stronger team in this one.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady again coming out playing angry.
Tom Brady can, blow up. You know that better than anybody.
Sure do. Thanks, Mike. I don't like Marshawn Lynch. I don't like Adrian Peterson. They're both old running back. Like, Marshawn's coming out of retirement, and he's looked okay in the preseason, but he's a running back over 30. Peterson's a running back over 30 coming off a knee injury. Like, this is where, like, guys like Frank Gore, it's very rare that he's still performing into his 30s. I don't think that that's going to work out. I think it's okay if you have one of those guys on your team. I don't think it makes sense to have both of them. I like Andrew's team just, like, a little bit more. Maybe the Falcons defense comes up big for him. But also Duncan, of course, gets a Seahawks defense against Green Bay, but the Green Bay passing attack, and now they've got, some running back set up. I'm going to go Andrew in a close one. I don't think either team breaks 100 points in this one.
Okay, that's a hot take.
Thank you. And finally, it is our matchup of the week. Mike and Domicon Soup taking on Luke, team I'm thinking Arby's. And here we get to use your vast knowledge of the law to make our podcast even better. Ezekiel Elliott was suspended back in August, two nights before our draft. It was believed that he would miss 6 games. Then on Tuesday this week, his suspension was upheld. So you think, okay, he's definitely suspended. But now he's still going to play week 1, and he's suspended weeks 2 through 9. What in the hell is going on here?
All right. I did a bunch of research about this because I actually didn't know too much about the whole situation. And I've got... It's a whole deal. So I don't know if you want me to go through all of it, or and sort of explain how it's playing out, or just like, what do you want here from me, Rick?
Yeah, go through all of it. Let's hear exactly what's going on through this whole process.
All right. Okay. So I don't know how closely everyone's been following this. Some people might know more than others. And if you know all this stuff, I'm sorry. But if you don't, you can buckle up because it's going to get pretty juicy. And Rick, if something doesn't make sense or if you've got a question, just interrupt me and we'll address it. Okay, so basically it's like you said, there were 3 trials, right? Or 3 cases that are part of this whole Ezekiel Elliott debacle. And so the first one's pretty cut and dry. The trial happens, the sentence gets passed, and he has that 6-game suspension. And that's all it was for a while. So then the next 2 cases are where it gets a little more interesting. So the appeal happens, and that was last week, yeah?
The appeal was, I think he had a certain amount of time to appeal, and he did that right about when we were drafting. So he got his appeal in. It was when the appeal sentence would come down, and that was Tuesday night.
I think they timed that on purpose, but I will get to that later. So anyway, this appeal was an opportunity to provide, evidence or an argument that might make them rethink the sentence or the punishment or whatever, possibly overturn the suspension. So I looked into it, and during that case, Zeke's legal team's their main argument is that this whole case was fake news.
Ooh.
You can get a soundbite in there. Fake news. Could you put a Trump soundbite in there? Is that possible? Is that something you can do?
I could add that in, but I like the way you say fake news better, so I think that might just be our sounder for the rest of the season.
Okay, dope. So they're saying essentially that Ezekiel Elliott is this victim of this huge, legal conspiracy by the NFL, and that the league is just trying to make an example out of him, and as a result, the league will look good by punishing a guy who committed domestic abuse, right?
Right.
That's the argument they're made. So their argument is basically the league is trying to save their own butts from a PR disaster, and as a result, they're totally screwing Ezekiel Elliott over. So it sounds like a bold claim, But they had one decent point, and that was that after the initial case concluded, the league issued a final report with like details about the case.
Mm-hmm.
But in that report, they didn't mention this one detail, which was the lead investigator of that case. Her name was Kia Roberts, and Kia Roberts said, or she interviewed Tiffany Thompson, the girlfriend. She interviewed her multiple times. And then after all that, she goes on record saying, don't suspend Ezekiel Elliott. I recommend you don't suspend Ezekiel Elliott. So that's like a little weird, right? Why, that's the question. Why would she recommend he not get suspended? And then people think, okay, is it because Tiffany Thompson didn't really have a strong case? Is it that the investigator doesn't totally believe Tiffany Thompson, or some people, is she getting paid to say don't suspend Zeke because people really want Zeke to play?
Right.
So, or it could be totally something else. I don't know enough about all the details to, you know, pass judgment on that. But whatever the case, that's kind of a big thing for like a lead investigator to say on record, I recommend this guy not get suspended.
Right.
But the league didn't mention anything about that occurrence.
So is that where the conspiracy comes from, that the NFL wants Zeke to be suspended? Is that they're shunning this one report?
Yeah, they're shunning all this stuff because essentially what they're trying to say is that the league doesn't want to touch this at all with a 10-foot pole. They don't want to be associated with even the thought of one of their players, you know, committing domestic abuse. So they just act fast without really looking at the facts and just suspend them so they look good in the public eye.
Right.
So they're not paying any heed to this sort of important detail, and obviously other details that I didn't look into. So anyway, the judge, you know, that's when the judge upheld the suspension, right? So now this third case, which is the lawsuit, Zeke's team is pissed off, or Zeke's legal team, they're pissed off. They're like, hey, we made a pretty good case here. We brought up a pretty good point here. This is not cool. So then they file for this lawsuit, which is technically getting a restraining order for the ruling temporarily.
Is that what the TRO, temporary restraining order, is that what that stands for?
Yeah, I believe that's what it is. And so that means that's why he gets to play week one. They're like, we're going to review this one more time because we presented really good evidence that there's some shady stuff going on and the league's just trying to defend itself. And so while this lawsuit is getting reviewed, Zeke gets to play. So the idea is the review is pending, and if it goes well, then he gets his suspension revoked. And if it doesn't go well, then it's just another, you know, the suspension plays out. It just plays out after week one.
So the NFL then, it seems to me like they're in a lose-lose situation where if they review all of the evidence on Zeke and then they read the report and they take the report that the special prosecutor said where we shouldn't suspend Ezekiel Elliott, and then the NFL doesn't suspend him and he plays, people are going to say, oh, look, there goes the NFL again. They're taking, you know, they're putting domestic violence on the back burner. They don't care about the women in these players' lives. They don't care about the women fans who take this very seriously. And at the same time, they're now losing because they've just decided Zeke has been accused of domestic violence and we got to suspend him. We're going to suspend him. It doesn't matter about this evidence. He's been accused. Goodell, as commissioner, can say, I think he did it. So he did it and he suspended. So there's no real win-win. There's no winning case here for the NFL, essentially, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a bunch of people are going to be mad at them either way. And I personally, I don't know what's the right thing because I don't know all the details. I'm not sure anybody knows all the details. And it's just a really sticky situation because I don't know. If it comes out that he didn't do it, then he's wrongfully accused and wrongfully suspended, and that screws up, you know, not only his career, a bunch of people's fantasy games for nothing, essentially.
Right.
If it occurs that he didn't commit the domestic violence, which there's this whole, like, I looked into it way too much. People think that the girl might be faking, and then that's a bold claim. If she's not, that could be a whole mess of shit. But, like, yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff about that. I don't know if you want me to get into that or not, but yeah.
No, I don't think we have to get into the details of, you know, what was filed and the police reports and all that stuff. But so essentially Zeke is basing his claim that the girlfriend is not credible, doesn't sound like she's telling the truth, she could be lying about it, and the special prosecutor has seen this, recommended to the NFL, he shouldn't be suspended. The NFL says, fuck you, because they do what they want, suspend him anyways. You might have gone over this, I might have missed it. The temporary restraining order, is that like an automatic thing, like he's guaranteed to play week one, or is there still some process behind that where he could possibly, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, even before the game, be announced that he can't play?
Okay, as I understand it, the case is going to happen and it's going to be under review, so it's probably going to take more time than by Sunday. So as long as it's still under review and judgment has not been passed on that, then he should be able to play week one for sure. Because I guess the sort of loophole is that if everything goes Zeke's way, then he shouldn't have been punished for even one game.
Right.
So until this case is done, he can play. And then everyone's assuming, you know, he's not going to get any headway, so then the sentence will just be served out, or the suspension will just be served out over the next week. So he still gets his suspension, but they're just saying, wait now until everything's 100% finished. And that's what I'm saying. I think they purposely, very well timed their scheduling. They knew when they wanted this to happen, and they scheduled their hearings accordingly, probably so they could have him play week one, so they could have this, like, dead time, this review time. I'm sure they knew, and this was like a smart move by his legal team, and that they can sort of debut Zeke and, I don't know, get some really good PR for him while he's on the field or something like that. I think it's going to be kind of a big publicity stunt. I'm interested to see how the crowd reacts when he walks out, actually. That'll be a huge deal.
Is that game in Dallas?
Let's check it out. Looks like it.
Yeah. So they'll be back in their man, and they'll be cheering him. So I'm sure that'll motivate him more.
I mean, they could get boos. That's what I'm waiting to see.
Fans generally don't boo their own guy. So I think it would be, it's going to be cheers. It's going to be a lot of cheers. I think all Cowboy fans at this point have taken the Zeke is innocent, he never should have been suspended. The Cowboys and the Patriots can team up against Goodell for using his superpower to suspend with or without evidence of a crime or anything happening. Mm-hmm. And they're going to rally behind it.
So I guess as far as Zeke goes, morally, I don't know what to root for, because I really don't know what the right answer is and what all the facts are. But in terms of fantasy, I have to root against him. I hope he gets suspended, because fuck Luke, right? I just wish he didn't get to play game one.
Yeah, so, and then real quick to the back to the TRO, is there a chance that that takes more? Is that like an indefinite thing, where if it takes 2 weeks to play, Zeke would be able to play weeks one and two and then serve the suspension like 3 through 10, or is it only a 1 week thing?
See, I tried looking into that and I didn't get very far, but I think that might be a possibility. And I think they might keep pushing it.
Really?
Or I don't know. I mean, I guess that depends on how long it takes for the court proceedings, or you know, whatever. I'm not entirely sure on that. I didn't do enough research, but I would assume that would be their next move, right? Try to make this last as long as possible so we can it's the next week. Oh, he should get to play again because everything's under review. So I think they're going to try to push it as long as possible.
Huh. And I guess tapping back to your conspiracy theory as well with ratings and the big Sunday night game, week 9, they play the Chiefs at home. Week 10, it's the late game on Fox at Atlanta. And then week 11, it's back to Sunday night football at home against the Eagles. So I guess if he missed, if he plays weeks 2 and 3 and serves a suspension after, he could come back for any of those games, which the NFL wants huge ratings for their event. And that could possibly play into when he is suspended.
Damn, that's a really good point. Yeah.
Even week 3, if he plays week 3, it's a Monday night football game at Arizona. So it's I can see where the NFL conspiracy ratings-wise comes in. I just don't understand where it benefits them to... I've gone over that. I do think it's a lose-lose for them, so they might as well just try and suspend the player.
Correct.
Right. Okay, well, I really appreciate that, Mike. That was it's cleared up a lot for me. Let's get to this matchup. Team Soup, your team is coming in having one of the better drafts. I believe you got most promising draft at our draft weekend. You end up actually with a league-low 88 on the Fantasy Pro scale, and you come in at a projected 101, taking on Luke, who comes in at a 93 for Fantasy Pros, a projected 115. Leading to the biggest scoring line of the week, plus 14. So, Mike, it's your first competitive matchup here in the league, your most promising draft ever, taking on a perennial contender. How are you feeling?
Well, I was feeling good up until this morning with the whole Jay Ajayi thing. I thought I had a chance, but now I'm sort of like a double whammy, Zeke getting to play and then Jay Ajayi being out because of the postponement of the game. So that really, I'm a little nervous. I can still pull through, but you know, that's a promising player that I don't get to play this week.
Yeah. I think, maybe by the time you listen to this, most of you will have already heard Pip talking about Hurricane Irma, which is very interesting. And it's definitely affecting a lot of matchups. You losing a starting running back is obviously a huge one. What is most worrying you about Luke's team outside of he gets to actually play the reigning rookie of the year in Ezekiel Elliott, who is temporarily not suspended?
Well, let me tell you first what least worries me. First off, Luke's quarterback, Matt Ryan, horrible quarterback. Everyone knows he sucks, right?
All right. Thanks, Mike. It was good to have you on the pod.
Yeah. No, I mean, huge disappointment as far as quarterbacks go. Overall, just a talentless player. No idea why Luke drafted him at all. Something I do. All right, Rick, are you okay?
I'm fine. I'll delete that part out.
No, please don't do that. One thing I did want to touch on is I'm kind of interested to see this Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, because you know, Luke has Travis and I have Tyreek, and Travis Kelce got that injury, right? But I haven't seen much information about it, and it doesn't seem that serious. I don't know if you have any more information about it.
Looking at ESPN, he was limited practice Monday, but came back, and everything is pointing that he'll be able to play Thursday's season opener. But I do like that. I hadn't noticed that in the matchup, but you definitely like Kelce and Tyreek being huge targets for Alex Smith last season, going up against each other against a tough Patriots defense at home. It's definitely going to be interesting to see how those the receptions get split there.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm wondering if that injury, even though it's slight, if it's going to affect him even marginally on the day. And that might influence how the offense makes decisions, how Alex Smith makes decisions, and maybe Tyreek Hill will come on, you know, up on the better end of that, potentially getting more passes because Travis Kelce might not be absolutely 100%. So that's sort of what I'm hoping for.
Right. I definitely think that with, even though you are missing J.H.I.E., and you have to play Matt Forte, which isn't spectacular, your wide receivers, especially your wide receiver three with Tyreek going up against Chris Hogan, I think Tyreek mm-hmm. will get the better of that. Michael Thomas is a phenomenal wide receiver. I really enjoyed having him on my team last year. Alshon Jeffrey as a number one in Philly is a great receiver to have. Tyreek is another, you know, top one, top two target in that, you know, mm-hmm. Chiefs passing offense. So I think down the season, you're going to have a really good week. You've got the potential to have a strong one as well. Odell, questionable, but probably going to play. Demaryius is a strong receiver. So I think the Hurricane, while it hurts you at running back, you definitely get the leg up and wide receiver. And what do you think about Russell Wilson at Green Bay? They seem to play a lot in Green Bay, getting it in earlier in the season when it's not as cold. You worried about how the passing game might be for the Seahawks?
I don't think I'm too worried. I don't think Russell Wilson is one to like curve under pressure. He's pretty composed. I think he'll do fine. Like you said, it's probably going to be one of the fairer weather games he's played in Green Bay. That being said, I don't know if Seattle will, strictly speaking, win, but that's not going to stop Russell Wilson from playing well and getting some points on the board.
All right. Yeah, that's very true. So what is your prediction for week one? Projection-wise, they're saying you're not going to have a good week. You're hyping your team up. How are things in the locker room going into this week? What do you think the end result's going to be?
Well, can I just make one more point before I do that? One thing I am worried about is my defense. I'm interested to see how they perform because it's always, you know, a difficult game. I have the Chiefs defense for anyone who's listening. It's always a difficult game as a defense when you're going against the Patriots. But what I'm hoping is that the Chiefs defense just watched last year's Super Bowl and that they realized they should just keep playing defense into the second half. And that just seems like a winning strategy. I think that'll work for them. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, or maybe if they're up, they could run the ball and, you know, kick a field goal just to extend the lead. That might fucking help.
Yeah, it might.
Four players total in this matchup, two for each team in the Thursday night opener. I don't know if there's been more in a single matchup playing on a Thursday night. So this is definitely one you're going to want to pay attention to.
Yeah, like I said, I'm excited to be in the league. I'm excited for this first week. I was a lot more excited a day ago. So I think I never want to, you know, you never want to say this about yourself. I think I might take an L this week, but hopefully some magic happens and I might come out on top.
Yeah, I think Luke beats you this week as well. I think your team is really set up to do well later weeks, especially week two when you'll have a full roster available because week one buys are they're weird. I definitely think down the road, you know, a week one loss isn't going to hurt you unless you're Jordan and you've claimed that you're going to go undefeated and then you lose. That's going to trip. Mentally, you're going to get fucked up there. But yeah, I do think Luke wins, but I think you're set up well to have a good year. You've definitely had a fantastic first appearance on the pod as well.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun, Rick.
Any final parting words?
Oh, let me see. I think I put a fun fact down here.
Oh, we didn't get any of those from Pip, so I could use a fun fact.
You didn't get any fun facts from Pip.
No,
I'd just like to take this time to congratulate Jared on his job and welcome him to Seattle coming soon here. Excited for SoCal BroCal 2 Northwest Boogaloo. So, yeah. Thank you, Rick.
This Friday night on KUGN News Talk 590's The High School Football Game of the Week between the South Eugene Axemen and Churchill Lancers. Join myself and Tim Thompson as we bring you all the action between the Axemen and the Lancers. Both teams are 1-0 heading into the second week of non-league play. South Eugene is hoping to keep their offense rolling after a 41-6 win in week one, while in the 5A division, Churchill took down 6A Willamette 33-13 thanks to their run game as well as a QB tandem that combined for over 200 yards. That's the High School Football Game of the Week on KUGN News Talk 590, online at KUGN.com. pregame's at 6:45, kickoff's at 7, only on KUGN News Talk 590.